Okay, who is in charge of deciding what is good and what is evil? I want to ask it about six different situations in my life. Who's in charge? And in yours. Then beyond that, who is in charge of what is good or evil for your family, your household? How about who's in charge of deciding what is good and evil in your community? How about in your state? How about in the United States of America? Wait, how about in China? How about in the entire world? Who is in charge of deciding what is good and what is evil? Who is in charge of what is right and what is wrong? There's only two possible answers: me or God, right? It's either man or God. So all of us here already know the right answer, correct? Who's really in charge?
God.
Then why don't I, Kevin, always work that way? No. For he's already told me. For Kevin has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and I confess it and ask for forgiveness from the Lord and then from all that I sin against. I am not perfect. None of us are. However, by being followers of Jesus Christ, we are convicted of our sin because God will point out to us what is good and what is evil. And so I try to turn from what is evil and go back towards sin. All right. Is this something new that just happened? I'm going to do just a quick walk through a couple of key points in the Bible. Let's start in the beginning. God created the. So who owns the heavens and the earth? Duh. Why don't I get that through my head? He created it. Did he leave? Because some people believe he created and walked away. No. He created the heavens and the earth, and he's here, and he's put it in our care. He started by putting it in the care of who? Adam and Eve. Good. So Adam and Eve are now in charge. And when God gave it to them, was it a messed up world like we see now? God says it was very good. Who's in charge of good and evil? God. And everything he does is good. Good.
Good.
I got that. Thank you, Lord. And right off the bat, the serpent, Satan, comes and says, hey, did God really say? He says that to Eve. And they get into a conversation. And by the time they finish, the great deceiver, Satan, the liar and the father of lies, has convinced her that what God has said is good is really evil. Look, God knows that if you eat of the fruit, it'll be good for you. Your eyes will be open. You'll know good from bad. You'll be like God. Eve goes, wow, that sounds better than what God gave me. So she took an eight and then gave some to her husband who was standing there listening to the whole thing. So right from the very beginning, God knows good and evil, and he's defined what is good and evil, and he's told us what is good and evil. And Satan comes along and tries to convince us of the opposite. Right? Okay, let's fast forward just a few more. We get up to the time of Noah. The whole world had decided that men knew better than God what is good and what is evil. And they were doing what they thought was good in their own eyes. It wasn't good. You know how bad it was? How evil? It was so evil. God had to scrub the earth clean. And all that survived was Noah, his wife, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their three wives, and a bunch of animals that God sent to be on the ark. The whole world had to be scrubbed clean because mankind had decided man knew what was better than God. Man knew what was good and evil, and what God said, didn't make any sense. Fast forward to one of my favorite kings, Josiah. Josiah is after the kingdoms have been divided. You know, after Solomon's death, there was the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. Josiah was the king of Judah, the southern kingdom where Jerusalem is. He follows after Ammon and Manasseh, who were not altogether good kings, especially Ammon. He only served 2 years and got out of here. So Josiah takes over at age 8, king of Israel. I'm sorry, king of Judah. 10 years later, he's fixing up the temple and, you know, spending money. He's 18. And one of the priests finds the book of laws. And whether it was just Deuteronomy or the entire Pentateuch, I've heard arguments both ways, but they were read to him. And he goes, oh my goodness, the word of God, the book of laws. He tore his clothes. He then named the book to be read to the elders and the people of Judah so that they knew. He took down the worship of false idols, the Asherah poles, and all the other things that were going wrong in Judah. And for a period of time, Judah was restored because they turned back as a group and looked to God for what is good and what is evil. What is good is from God, what is evil is from man, and we decided to do away with what we think is right because we're kind of messed up. You know that dish of ice cream I had last night? That was a decision of man. And it was evil. So whether it's something simple or something big, God has a plan, and his plan is good, and he knows what is good and what is evil. We ought to listen to it. So that was Josiah. And then after that, takes the whole part again. How about if we get up to the time of Jesus? Jesus came to not judge the world, but to save it from the consequences, the penalty of the sin of people following after their own way of doing things, right? That's about them. How about me? Have I wandered on my own way? Have you wandered on your own way? Have you done things where you now know the consequence of having done things that I think are good for me leads to death? Jesus came, took that penalty away from me, from you who accept Christ as Savior, and we are now saved from that horrible consequence. But he's coming back. And everybody kept saying, so when are you returning? And he gave a number of signs to look at. But one was very important. Well, all of them were, but one in particular. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when I return. Now people are like, oh yeah, back in the days of Noah, people were getting married and being given in marriage and having kids and going to work and all that. No, what he's saying is, as it was before God had to scrub the earth clean, so it'll be before I come back. And you start seeing that time again where people have decided not to follow God, but follow their own way. Jesus is getting closer to coming back. And we call ourselves, based on what the Bible says, we are in the last days. That doesn't mean, you know, 2.5 hours from now, Jesus is coming back, but he could. Doesn't mean in 2 weeks or 2 years or 200 years. Jesus is coming back. We are in the last days prior to him coming. And as we start getting into the scriptures today, we're going to be seeing, we're looking an awful lot like as in the days of Noah. So when we start thinking about this question, who has the authority, who has the right to name what is good and what is evil? We all know the correct answer, but do you think the world knows that? Does the world, the people, some of our family, our friends, our co-workers, people in government, people in downtown Colchester, do they know that only God has the right to determine what is good and what is evil? And that when we say it, we're getting it backwards, when man does, they don't know it. Or they've chosen to ignore it. And if that's the case, and we do know the truth, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many people get to the Father? Anyone who believes and follows Jesus, I am, no one comes to the Father except through me, because he is the truth. So if we aren't telling people, hey guys, Jesus is the truth, we got a problem. We got a big problem. Why do we have the problem? We're saved because God has us here for a reason. Steve, the reason you're here, Steve and I were talking earlier. He's wondering if maybe he should try to find some way to get the Fear Ministry going again. You know why you're here, Steve? God wants you to tell people that he is the way, truth, and life. And if you want to go to heaven, there's only one way, and that's through him. Each of us, I don't care how young or old we are. I'm a young, old 70. He's telling me, begging me to get out there and do my job. I don't work for a business. I haven't retired from life. I work for the Savior and Creator of the universe, and so do you. So today, let's kind of get into being equipped to go out tomorrow, in about an hour, go out and go to work for the boss, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and tell people, through him, you can come to heaven. There is no other way. There is none. And by the way, when he comes back, you're going to go, how come nobody ever told me? Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Every knee will bow. Talk to Rick about bowing on your knees. Rick, don't worry. You'll be able to do it. He'll take care of your knees. So we've got this exciting message. But today, I want to get us a little bit more equipped, me in particular. And I figure as long as I'm getting equipped, I'll try to help share it with you, okay? All right. Now, given the problem that we're faced with, before we get to the scripture, which is here, or in your Bible, whichever you prefer, would you turn to the next page, and it says, Selected Scriptures for Sunday, October 25th, 2020. I have these prepared for me. I thought they might be of help to you. The reason is, carry this around with you. I will promise you this, because God promises it to all of us. I have the scriptures in your heart. My heart sometimes is good, but my mind is not as good as it used to be. Carry this around, and you're going to be talking to people, and somebody's going to say, so Eric, where does that come from? And you say, we talked about it in church. And you got this with you, and you can point to the scripture and say, this is what the Bible says. What does the Bible say about the Bible? All scripture is
breathed.
And so we'll get into that later. It is all from God. So if we recognize that God is the one who can determine good and evil, who sets what is good and evil, and we want to make sure we know, we better go to his word, because all the scripture is God breathed, which is going to help us know good and evil. Because Satan is out there. Let me tell you. Don't even watch the news. Satan's in a lot of that. I don't mean the news. The news is trying to convince you that what you think is good is really evil, and what is evil is really good. And if you listen enough, it'll be like Eve. They can even convince me. Because it makes so much sense. So get into the word. All right. I'm going to cover just a couple of these, and we're getting into the main scripture. At the end of the book of Judges, during the time of shortly after the conquest of the Promised Land, the people ended up saying, there is no king here. Like all the other towns and communities and countries having a king, there's no king. So everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Hey, if there's no boss, I can figure it out. Now, is that a true statement? In those days, there was no king in Israel? Who was the king, Meredith?
Yahweh.
It's a great song. Yahweh was king. So if they're saying there is no king, But Yahweh is king.
What happened?
They're deceived into believing there is no king, and they want to believe there is no king, because if there is no king, who gets the right to make up their mind on what's good and what is evil? They do. You think that might be happening today in this country? There is no king. And then, if there isn't, then I can make up my mind and try to convince everybody else. Oh, Satan is such a devious liar. So in those days, there was no king of Israel. There was, but they didn't recognize him. And since they didn't think there was anyone, they did what they thought was right. So who's deciding in Israel at that time? God or man? So then take a look. I shared this one last week. What does Proverbs 14:12 say? Roger, look at 14:12. Belt it out. What's 14:12 say?
There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death.
I bolded, any of the bold isn't in the Bible, that's me. I bolded, there is a way that seems right to a man. What was going on in Israel? They thought it was right. Thank you, Roger. This is critical. If we think there is a way to throw, we've answered that question we had on up on the screen. Who can make a decision of what is good and what is evil? Man, that's what they're saying. But when man makes the decision and thinks it's right, it's really wrong. There is a way that seems right to Kevin. Put your own name in here. But in the end, it's the way to debt. Next one, 2 Timothy. I bolded the first part. This is what's going on today. Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, there is a time coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Folks, what are you going to do when you leave here today? You're going to go and start teaching. By the way, you lead your lives, by conversations, things are going to come up. You are a teacher. Oh, I can't teach. Yes, you can. And people are going to then challenge you and not be happy with you. Rita, I love you. But I bet you there's some people that don't like listening to you. Steve, when you were running the fair ministry, did everybody come swarming around the area that you were set up to talk about Jesus? Did they all come and hug you and say, tell me more? Yeah, you wish. But yet there were some that God put in their heart a desire to hear the truth. Well, there is a time coming, and it's here now, folks, where people will not endure Rita, Steve, each of you with sound teaching. They don't want to hear it. My three of my brothers don't want to hear it. They won't talk to me. I love them. I don't want them to die, to be separate from God, but they won't talk to me anymore. So I just keep praying, Lord, keep bringing people into their lives until they finally give up. Open their hearts to hear the truth. Folks, you've got a job to do. They will not endure sound teaching, but teach anyway. And when they persecute you and turn away from you, even your own family, just with a smile and love. Now the Bible is a brick to beat them over the head. But with love, teach them about the good news of Jesus Christ. He's here to save us. So if they're not going to endure sound teaching, what's going to happen? They have itching ears, you know, that kind of thing. And what are they going to do? Because they have itching ears, they're going to wait and find people. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Eric, I don't want to hear from you anymore. I'm going to go listen to somebody that tells me what I want to hear. You're just intolerant. Huh? You want somebody to lie to you? Yeah, because then it makes me feel good. I like that, right? Lie to me. Tell me what my engineers want to hear. It's going to suit my passions, the things that are wrong. Oh, how about this? Have you ever had this one? your boss at work treated you badly, or somebody at work and you're really angry at them. So you talk to Corey, and Corey says, calm down. The person may have done wrong, but let's pray for them. Corey, I'm not going to listen to you. You come and talk to Kevin. And Kevin says, yeah, that was unfair. You know, you should get even. Yeah, who are you going to listen to? Corey says, no, love them, pray for them. Or Kevin then says, get even with them. They did it wrong. You're going to listen to the person that's going to make you feel good, justify what you're doing wrong. That person says, pray for them, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Folks, we've got to be that person, not the person that's saying, commiserating with all these people that have, they feel just cause to be upset. Don't let yourself get corralled in being a false teacher. Because once they get the teachers that are going to suit their own passions, they're going to turn away from listening to the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus. We've saying that over and over, but drill that into your mind. Everything apart from Jesus is not the truth. Something is not the truth, we call it a lie. What am I doing when I allow them to believe a lie by liars who are encouraged by Satan to spread the lie so that they'll live their lives in a horrible way? And then when things go bad, who do they blame? Come on. Hey, if your God is so good, why is it all the bad stuff to happen? Have you ever heard that one? God is so good, he gives us the free choice to either follow and do good stuff or follow Satan and do bad stuff. It's your choice, Kevin. Oh, woe is me. Paul says it, and I keep repeating it. Why do I do that which I don't want to do? And why don't I do what I should be doing? I'm along with me. Forgive me, Lord. And then he strengthens me to do more good. He'll do the same for each of you, but our job is to get that message out. If we don't, they're going to the rest of 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. They will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. We don't have time today to go through the myths, but there's a whole bunch of them. And it all comes down to what's best for me. Satan convinced Eve it was best for her to eat of the fruit. Was that really best for her? Hey, how about for me? Was it good for me that she and Adam ate of the fruit? Remember Cliff Wilson? The devil made them do it. Made me do it. Yeah, well, no, he can't make us do anything. We get suckered in to believe that Satan has something better for us than God, our creator. And that's what our people that we're talking to are. So what do? We don't want to offend people. We don't want to be intolerant. We don't want to be. So we're quiet and we let them get all these teachers to tell them what their itching ears want to hear so that they feel good. Everybody said? This was only the one. God, that's really challenging. So we're now going to go to Romans. What is the result of any one person or group of people turning away from God and going to follow their own ways? What is the result when people say God doesn't have the right to determine what is good and evil? We do. And then something goes wrong and they try to fix it. Instead of turning back to God, what do? They try to fix what they did wrong by doing something else wrong. How many wrong things can you do to make it right? Not enough. In fact, I compound the problem when I do more wrong things. So Paul writes to the church in Rome. This is somewhere apparently around 7 to 10 years before he's martyred in Rome. He hasn't been in Rome yet. This is before he gets there, but he's been getting reports. Not only is this about Rome, it's about Connecticut in the United States, and maybe even into some of my household, my extended household. So we're going to read from verse 18 through the first, actually two verses of chapter 2. Since this is the word of God, if you're able, let's stand while I read this. And you'll notice there's some key words that I highlighted. This is so that if you decide to share this with people, those will be some of these to pop out. So Paul writes, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." They suppress it. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth." They are suppressing Jesus by their unrighteousness. "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world." From the very beginning, it's been clearly perceived. "It's been perceived in the things that have been made." Who made everything? So what we need to know about it, God, is through his creation. "For although they," the people that are suppressing the truth, "for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him." So then what happens? Who's in charge? Who's in charge of what is good and determining what is evil? They're saying, "I am, man is." So when they do that, then it says, this is the rest of verse 21, "but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." The light's gone out. The light's gone out. "Claiming to be wise," look at all those people who think they're wise. "They became fools." Fools. "And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, animals, creeping things." They replaced the immortal God with stuff and people and things. All right, that's what they did. What's God's response? "Therefore, for those reasons, God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged, traded in the truth about God for a lie." The truth has been traded for a lie. That's what it says. That's where we are today. "And they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Now, for this reason, for what we just read, just a little bit, "for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions." Did he make them have dishonorable passions? He stopped trying to stop them. He's saying, "Okay, you guys want to believe a lie and go and have what you think is going to make your life happier? You're going to have passions, because you're not listening to what I told you, right? You're listening to the liar, the father of lies, and you're now going after lies, one of which is dishonorable passions." Just one. Here's what happened. "For their women exchanged natural relations for those that were contrary to nature." That's a really polite way of saying something. I'm not going to go any further. "And men, likewise, gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another." You think that's happening today? "Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error." Oh, look at this. "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind." He didn't put a debased mind in them. He's saying, "Okay, you want to do it? I'm letting it go. This is free choice." A debased mind to do what? Do what ought not to be done. Who's making? You say, once you turn away from God, like, who's the person that who has charge of good and evil?
Satan.
Satan, and working through us and the people around us. We now have debased minds if we have not been saved by Jesus because we're following after the light. Next page, that side. These people who have the debased minds, these passions, these evil thoughts and stealing, robbing, killing, murdering, and everything else, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil. God's not evil. God tells us what is good and what is evil. They've decided evil is good. All manners of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness. That's a fancy word. You know what covetousness is? Eric, what you got, I like. I want it. That's what covetous is.
This.
Meredith, you've got this beautiful place down, you know, overlooking the lake and everything. I like it. You get out. I want it. Covetousness. Malice. Oh, you won't leave? Malice. Gonna throw you out. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. Have you watched the news over the last few months? Is that what we're seeing on the news in this country? What are they filled with? The mind of God? No, the mind of man, the debased mind. They are gossips, slanderers. Oh dear, I'm not even going to go there. Haters of God. When you bring up God, what do? They get upset. Insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil. There's not enough evil in the world. They're going to invent more. Disobedient to parents. Thank you, Corey, for sharing this morning. We are to be honoring our parents, right? Foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Is Paul pulling any punches here? No. He's saying it like it is. Though they knew God's righteous decrees, they know it. Everybody knows it. God says it. This is his word. Everybody knows God's righteous decrees. Those who practice such things deserve to die. They not only do that, they give approval to those who practice them. Think of it. I get people who tell me what my itching ear wants to hear, that what I want to do that is bad is really good. So I'm going to listen to them. I'm going to listen to you. You're telling me that it's wrong because that God says it's wrong. I'm going to dishonor God. I'm going to listen to somebody else who tells me it's okay. All right, here's the hard part. You thought that was bad? I can't do Romans 1 without Romans 1 and 2. Therefore, you, Kevin, have no excuse. What?
What?
You, Kevin, oh man, every one of you who judges someone else from passing judgment on another, I'm condemning myself. Because you, the judge, practice the same things. I practice listening to lies. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. This last verse, it doesn't say that I have passions for other men. It's saying that I have a desire to listen to other people tell me that what's wrong is really right. That's what I want to hear. It makes me feel good. See, I'm really okay.
I'm okay. You're okay.
Martin Buber. There's a great book, don't seminary. I'm okay, you're okay. Some seminaries are actually teaching this. It's a long story, bad news, but no, it's not. We're okay. We have all sinned, fall short of the glory of God. Folks, we want to hear, and our friends and family don't want to hear from us, not because we're not right, not because we're not even telling them in a loving way. It's because they don't want to hear the truth. They want to suppress the truth because they believe the truth is going to ravel the problem of joy, happiness, and goodness. That's what they believe because the late Satanists lied to them. Rather, they're rejecting us because they don't want to hear the truth. They just don't want to hear it. And they're not really rejecting me. They're rejecting God. The last of the judges in Israel was Samuel, the prophet. Towards the end of his life, he was in his 70s, so they believed. He had two sons who were not following the ways of God, and people of Israel were afraid that his two sons might become the next judges, the ones who are, you know, trying to help keep Israel and the people on the direct line. See what they said? We don't want them. Give us a king like all the other countries. Well, what are they doing? They're talking about exchanging the two sons who weren't any good for a king like all the other countries have. Samuel was so terribly hurt. He goes before the Lord. He says, what should I do? God says, stop feeling sorry for yourself. This is the Kevin Baldwin paraphrase. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. They're not rejecting you. God says, they're rejecting me. So go ahead, give them a king. That's what they want. God did not force them to come to him. He let them see what would happen when they had an earthly king. So when we're talking to people about the problems in the world and in their lives and in their communities and the big anger about should we be voting this way or voting that way, yes, you should vote. Yet the king is God. He was, is, and forever shall be king. So remind people, you need to vote to do what you believe God is calling for the right leadership, and God will take care of it. But God is the king, not the president, not the head of the Senate or the House of Representatives or the town dog collector, dog catcher. God is king. All right, let's continue on. Isaiah. I'm up on the first page of the scriptures this week. By the way, remember this, what I told you last week? A text without context is a pretext. If you take a scriptural text and you don't put it in perspective, like read, not Kevin's perspective, God's perspective, read before and after, and let other sections of the Bible tell you what this one means. If you don't have the context, just pull scripture out. It's nothing more than a pretext to try to convince somebody of a position that you've taken. Let God speak through his words. Make sure that you know the context of any of these. And I try to put it on all of my scripture pass out so that you can say, gee, this one seems interesting. I better read a little more in the Bible about it. So go read it. Check it out. Okay, Isaiah. God has Isaiah say this to us today. Oh, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. How do they do that? How can darkness become light? The only way darkness can become light is when you shine a light into the darkness. And what's the only light? Jesus Christ. And yet they deny Jesus Christ and they say, see all that darkness? It's really light. Remember the story about the emperor's clothes? He's running around naked and everybody's being told, oh, they didn't want to admit they couldn't see it. Because only stupid people couldn't see the emperor's clothes. And here he is running around naked saying, look at all my clothes. And so they go, yeah, oh, they're gorgeous. You're wonderful. Satan's saying, don't worry about the darkness. It's really light. If you really are following and knowing what's good, you're going to see light.
You're going to go around in the darkness.
And say, yeah, that light is wonderful. Satan convinces people of that. So light has become darkness. Darkness has become light. And evil has become good, and good has become evil. Oh, my goodness. Gracious Lord. Most of us in this room are north of 50. Some more than others. Do you remember back in school when we used to say the Lord's Prayer? Anybody know what year that was taken out? 1962. Engel versus Vitale. Supreme Court finally ruled, no, that's an establishment of religion, so we've got to get rid of it. You can't say the Lord's Prayer. You can't, later on it got down, you couldn't do Bible studies. 1980, can't even have a Bible open and reading if you're a teacher in the schools. What we're looking at, folks, is the systematic removal of God and God's truth and goodness from the teachings that are necessary, whether it's a school or in people's lives. I have people at work who are clients who have offices in big buildings, you know, big offices. They can't put a nativity scene on their desk. They have trouble even putting postcards or Christmas cards. They have to have happy holiday cards. Yeah. Suppressing the truth, calling good evil and evil good. If you go back again into the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, would you have ever thought there'd be a movement called LGBTQ that would say you can have any sexual relation with any type or group or system of people and whatever you think is going to be just fine? If I had told somebody that and written a science fiction novel that in 2020, this is what was going to happen, they would laugh at me and wouldn't even get published. That's too far-fetched. Yeah, look at it today. All right, continue on. 2 Timothy, I'm only going to read the first couple verses. Backside. Understand this, in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Anybody here have difficulty in sharing the word of God? Steve, do you have difficulty in sharing the word of God with people? See, you know why? He's not ashamed of the gospel. But when you share it, do they always run out and say thank you? Or do they sometimes call you names? Don't tell me, but yes, they do. They call me names. I know they call you. There's going to be times of difficulty. And there will come times of difficulty. Why? Because people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Does this sound like today? Proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to the parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good. They don't love good because now good is evil.